So I guess a good place to start is, you know, kind of like that idea that I gave of gratitude as a passing saying of, oh, I'm so grateful for this, compared to a more maybe meaningful practice, you know, and if we can maybe kind of like define, you know, what real gratitude really is to start this conversation today. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. I always enjoy coming on and talking with you, especially if you're gonna flatter me first thing in the morning. Good way to start my Thursday. So thank you. I do really enjoy being on here, and I enjoy whenever I hear from folks out of this podcast situation too. Sometimes people are like, oh, hey, I listened to your podcast and this. It's always very exciting. So don't be shy. Pop it in the comments, right? We love to hear from you. So a couple of things. So before we actually get into defining gratitude, I just wanted to take a minute and acknowledge that it might be extra hard right now to feel grateful for stuff. And that is perfectly okay. And I'm not saying, and Chris is not saying, I'm gonna speak for her here. She is not saying that we need to only focus on the positive, that we have to be grateful for something. It is okay to struggle right now with finding something to be grateful for. And it's okay if this is not for you today, this week, next week. If you need to focus on other stuff to keep you well, that is totally fine. That being said, it is good to be able to pull yourself out of the negative, like Chris was saying, focusing on something positive, not ignoring maybe the negative or grumpy feelings or whatever's going on, but just allowing yourself a chance to say, it's not 100%, you know, negative right now. There are some good things going on. So I wanted to start kind of with that little statement. I don't know what to call this, a content warning, not really, but just an acknowledgement basically that it might be very hard for you to think about things you're grateful for right now. And that's okay. It really is. There's a lot to be grumpy about this year. I mean, really, truly.
Absolutely. And you know, I had that question later. I had like, you know, how do we counter, you know, or how do we find ways to be grateful, really? Because there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of stress. I mean, we're living in a pandemic. We're hearing now the news, and we were hopeful, and we were thinking, oh, we're, you know, it felt like we were really going upstream. I mean, downstream, I guess, would it be? I don't know. Uphill. That's probably a better way of saying it. With COVID, right? We were going up. That's what we were saying. We were getting out of it. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Like, it really felt like we were getting to a place where we were going to open back up, and we were just going to start going back into normal life. And in the last couple of days, very quickly, very rapidly, we've seen a change. The numbers are going up. There's more and more restrictions. And so, yes, like I said at the beginning, it's not that we are saying, oh, don't worry about all those news, just find things to be grateful, just, you know, find ways, find something to be grateful for. Yeah, that's not what we're saying, because then yes, I should be sent to a country with just unicorns and rainbows, because I would not be connected with reality, right? But Julie, why is it important to look for something to be grateful? You know, what does that bring, or what does maybe does in our brain or in our attitudes or for our mental health?
Yeah, so great question. So I wanna start with kind of talking about the duality, right? So I'm sure you all know this, but just as we're talking about the negative, it's important that we don't get stuck in black or white thinking. So when things are tough, it is useful to think about something that is positive, to remind yourself that both things can be true, that it might be a really crappy year, but you also just had a really fun conversation with somebody, or you also got into college, or did well on a paper or something. I actually asked some folks on my Instagram what they were grateful for or excited about recently. Because I have been having a grumpy week this week. Like, it's been a hard week for me with school and everything. And so I was like, I need reminders of happy things and to celebrate with people. So, these are just some of the examples that kind of popped up, but, you know, so really leaning into the nuanced, the gray of experience allows us to not get stuck in black or white thinking, which is where a lot of us may get tripped up into kind of spiraling downward. We've talked about this a lot, negative loop, right? So if this is bad, then I think about it, then this and this, 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 right? And you end up kind of spiraling downwards a little bit and negativity, whether that's depression, anxiety, anger, frustration, whatever you've got going on. So allowing us to recognize that it is not always 100% bad or 100% good, right? So I can be tired and resilient. I can be mad about this, but happy about something else, right? So it really allows us to maybe focus on external things when it's hard to focus on internal things. So if I'm having a very stressful week, it might be hard to remember positive things about myself, for instance, or positive things going on about myself. So it's easy to be grateful for external things because it takes some of the pressure off of your brain struggling with finding the positive when things don't seem very hopeful in general.
I love what you just said because that takes a lot of, you just said that and I felt this pressure lifting of my shoulders, you know, where I was feeling like, okay, I need to find something that's good. I need what's good, you know, what's the positive in this for me? I like very concentrated on that. But if I can maybe look outside and just find something out there that's good, you know, in the midst of all of this, like somebody always repeats at church that I go, our priest, he always says, look for the helpers, you know, always in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of whatever, always look for the helpers. And it's that same message that you just gave us, you know, look for the positive. When you can't find it inside, look outside, see if you can find it and hold on to that to just be able to kind of like move on and find your strength.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we need external reminders or something external to focus on when our feelings or brain or body or whatever just becomes too much to kind of live in at the moment. It can be really, really helpful to go, puppies are really cute. I'm so grateful that puppies exist, you know, and then go Google some puppy photos. I mean, really, I know that sounds very maybe trite or like superficial, but the reality is we need that kind of stuff or it's gonna just be a big negative rainy cloud all the time. So reminding ourselves about those external things, no matter how real, like, oh my gosh, look at these wonderful human beings saving the world or like puppies are cute. I mean, it really can be anywhere on that spectrum of things. Or maybe it's that, and I'm certainly not talking about myself, but maybe it's that you wear big fun earrings because you need the reminder that there can be some like positivity in your day or something, right? And you're like, well, I really like these earrings and it makes me smile. And often it makes other people smile, you know, to see what ridiculous earrings I have on. So is that a cure-all? Am I going to be cured of anxiety or depression? No, but it does provide a little spot of joy or a little spot of positivity or gratefulness or thankfulness or whatever we really want to call it here to allow us to maybe get in the upward spiral instead of the downward spiral.
So Julie, let's, thinking about gratitude as a practice, right? Thinking about gratitude as something that we do regularly. There's studies that have been done that say that the practice of gratitude really has helped people, you know, in their mental health. The one study that I found was around college students, actually. And it said that, they separated 300 students into three groups, students who were seeking mental health therapy. And the first group, they asked them to write gratitude letters to others. Right. And the other group was asked to write about their negative experiences. And then the other group was, they didn't ask them to write anything. They just came to therapy on a regular basis. Right. And two things that they found that I thought were really interesting and I wanted to explore with you is the first thing was that the group who was writing the letters to others, whether they sent them or not, experienced, you know, great benefits and were in better mental health for, I think that they followed them up to for 12 weeks and they still were having better mental health. So I want to explore that idea of, you know, how writing a gratitude letter for somebody else can have that effect on you, that lasting effect on you, even if you don't send it to that person. Like I thought that caveat was really, really cool, because it was like, wow, you don't even, it's, you did it for somebody else, but it stayed with you, and yet it had this profound impact, right? But the other thing that I would like for you to maybe help me clarify is that they also said, though, that within that group who had to write the letters, those who had less negative words were the ones who had the longer lasting effects. So it wasn't just about having, you know, a lot of things to be grateful for, but the way in which they were communicating. And I think it's important to look at that, because that might hint to us, and that might help us maybe as we communicate with others, recognize maybe some red flags, or maybe, I don't know, it just brought awareness to me that of the importance and the power of the word, because it's not just saying grateful, you know, or being practicing gratitude, but it's also the words that we're using as we're practicing the gratitude, whether they're more in the positive or in the negative side. So I know I asked you two questions. I tried to only ask one, but I felt that these two, I couldn't really separate them. So it's a lot of information. So if you could just help us with that.
Sure. All right. So prepare for a long couple of answers here. So first, I am so, so glad you brought up the language. That's actually one of my favorite weird niche facts about psychology, is that they have done studies, multiple studies, where they will look at text messages, conversations, letters, emails, all this, so our verbal communication of a variety of people. And they can, like, with a really high percentage, I can't remember what it is, pick out who is depressed or not, or anxious or not, based on the language that they're using. So this is a very good predictive tool, basically. So a couple of things to unpack there. One, this gets into that negative loop thing, right? So if I think the world is just not a great place right now, or I am not a great person, or whatever I'm thinking, this feeds into our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors, all right? So, you know, maybe I drop a coffee in my lap, and if I'm already primed, meaning that I am ready to see the world in a more negative way, then I will likely attribute that to something negative versus an accident or I'm clumsy. It'll be like, ugh, the world is against me, right? But then I carry that throughout my day. So that's that negative loop where I'm going. So if I have this negative experience, I think negative things, I may then say negative things out loud, right? And it could be, ugh, the world is out to get me. You know, it becomes very defeatist. It's that 100% negativity where I'm convinced that, you know, there's no hope, or this is what I deserve, or, you know, whatever kind of thoughts I might be having. We get very black or white thinking, and it's all negative. And this is a common sign of depression or anxiety. It's one of the lesser, like, communicated about ones, because it's hard to know. Are we having a bad day? Are we having a bad morning? Or is this a pattern? And so you're looking for a pattern over time. Does this person communicate in a way that seems very extreme? Is it always black or white? Is it, do they tend to use more negative sounding words overall? Have you heard them say the word joy, pleasure, gratitude, happy? These kind of things are good indicators. And I know that seems very silly, but we have to lean into that. It cannot be black or white. It has to be gray. We are all shades of gray. So yeah, I dropped a coffee on my lap, and darn it, that is just the worst luck this morning. But I'm going to go think about something positive, or I'm going to just move on with my day. If this is the first bump in my day, right? There. Okay. I don't know if you want to say anything before I get into the next part. No? Okay. I was like, we're going to talk for a while. So language matters. And that's why it's so important that when you're given best practices around language, that we shift with it. Stuff has changed so much. Oh my gosh. And I haven't been in the field that long, like 10 years or something, where I've been working in the mental health field. And, you know, language has changed like 3 times in some cases. And it's funny, because sometimes I'll catch myself, and it's okay to make mistakes. It really is. Don't make a huge deal out of it. Just correct and move on. All right. But language changes. And the reason being is that we know that certain words have negative connotations to them. So And that could be that they weren't there and now they are, or they always have been and we just know better now, you know, whatever. So I know it might seem like trivial to change from, for instance, substance abuse went to substance use to now it's substance misuse. And I would say a lot of people use substance use still, because that was a more recent shift. And there isn't necessarily anything inherently wrong with it, but we try to say substance misuse disorders instead of substance use disorders. And so this is something that changed, like I said, like we're on the third iteration of it. And that was in like 6 or 7 years that there was this like hop, hop, hop. And I was like, ah, I can't keep up. Like, you know, it could be a little confusing, but it's important because language does matter. And so part of that is tied to that negative loop we were talking about. Part of it is the stigma that's associated. And, you know, just a quick PSA, if you're struggling and you have been for a while, please go talk to someone, okay? Because getting help is fine. I always like to joke that everybody needs a therapist at some point. And the reality is that everybody needs a therapist at some point, right? So I've seen someone before, who knows if I'll see someone again. And it's great to dump all your stuff on somebody else and be like, you deal with all this, please. Like, I don't want to. And going to therapy doesn't mean you're gonna be there forever. You know, I did like 3-4 sessions here, then like another couple over here as I needed them. And, you know, I thought about it a couple of times during 2020 too, like, should I go back to therapy, and not forever, maybe like once a month or something, just to talk, just to dump on somebody else that I'm going to pay to listen to me, you know? So anyway, I got a little off track. Quick therapy PSA there. Brain changes though. So the brain literally changes when we start to practice gratitude. So I've talked about the negative loop. We can do the positive loop or the upward spiral. And so this is the flip side of this. Basically, and again, it's not toxic positivity, like you have to be happy, this is the only answer, but really about when we talk about that negative loop, if something bad happens, we're more likely to think about it in bad terms and then feel bad and then do bad and then feel bad, think bad, blah, 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 blah. Same thing goes with gratitude. We go the other way around. So if we are more ready to accept positive feelings, gratitude, thankfulness, we are more likely to find that and continue to seek it out and go upward in our spiraling. It does literally change the brain. People that are grateful on a regular basis, not like, you know, it's 2020, so I'm going to be grateful for one thing and then I'm done. That's not what we're talking about. But somebody that practices gratitude on a regular basis, let's say once a week or a couple times a week, has been shown to have a longer lifespan, better attention, better sleep quality, reduced stress, reduces pain. Let's see, reduces chances of anxiety and depression. And your motivation tends to be a little bit higher too. So, I mean, there's some real changes that happens in the brain for people that are just a couple times a week thinking about gratitude.
You mentioned a word that I want to explore. It's a two word, actually. It's toxic positivity. Can we dive into that? Can we talk about that? Because I think that's where the border is. I think that's where a lot of people are like, you know, you're just ignoring everything and you're just, I mean, who would have thought that you can put the word toxic next to positivity, right? So let's explore what that is and the difference between, I guess, non-toxic positivity or and toxic positivity. Help us digest that.
Yeah. Great. So it's something that I've been thinking a lot about recently. And I think it's because, you know, as I'm scrolling through Instagram, as we all do, right? I was looking at it and I would see posts that are like good vibes only. And you're like, So it's when we become in this black and white thinking that it becomes toxic. So just like if you've been around somebody that is always negative, a negative Nancy, a Debbie Downer, whatever, right? Somebody that is always negative, you feel like after dealing with them. Okay. And it's, you know, perhaps they have depression. I'm not saying that they don't. But, you know, it's when you're around the 100%, when there's no nuance, when there's no shades of gray, that it can become very toxic. So I know it seems weird, but positivity can be toxic too. So let me give you a couple of examples. So one is good vibes only. So that means to me, when I read that, and I'm using my higher cognitive thinking practices about this, right? It's not just like a flippant, it's like when I'm really thinking about it, this means that I'm not allowed to have negative feelings, that I'm not allowed to come talk to that person if I'm struggling, right? So if somebody says good vibes only in the space, then that means that I am not seeing all the shades of gray, that I'm not allowed to have those negative feelings and things like that. And negative feelings are okay. It really is. So another example of this might be like, if I was like, Chris, I've really been struggling lately. And you were like, oh, well, people in other countries have it harder than you. So what'd you just do? You invalidated my feelings, right? And people do this all the time. I've done it a couple of times where someone's like, oh, I've been really tired. Oh, you're tired, right? Or, you know, somebody says something to you and you're like, all right, well, at least you don't have this. So you're invalidating how people feel. And you're trying to get them to focus on the positive. Or another example is, and I heard this just recently, it was, you know, I'm really struggling lately. It's been hard to whatever. And then the person's like, have you gone outside? Have you done yoga about it? Have you whatever? And so again, this kind of rushes into the fixing it. It doesn't allow for the shades of gray, for those negative feelings that are there. And like I said, we can be grumpy and grateful. We can be sad and excited about something. And many of us are probably holding space for a lot of different feelings right now on all sides of the spectrum. Right? Because I certainly am, right? Like this week has been very stressful. But I've also been really excited to talk to friends. My dogs are so cute. I can't handle it sometimes, you know, like all this kind of stuff. So the toxic positivity is where we're saying you're not allowed to have negative feelings or we're like, just, you know, do this about it kind of thing, where we dismiss the very real feelings of humanity, basically.
So you talked about the practice of gratitude. You mentioned that in your previous answer. You said it's different to just be find the one thing that you're grateful for today and then move on to actually be mindfully practicing it. Let's talk about what that looks like and what that feels like.
Yeah. So that study that you found, it's actually, I've read this study too. I really enjoy it. So they talked about the difference between saying I'm grateful for Chris versus a detailed letter about why I'm grateful for Chris, right? So it's a little bit different than just flippantly or just quickly saying, you know, oh man, I'm grateful for the sun today. That's fine. You can be grateful for the sun, but in order for it to like really sink in and have those brain changes and make your lifespan longer and all that good stuff, you have to really experience it for a while and kind of be in that mood for a while. So it can't be like I switch the switch on and then off again, right? It can't be like, I'm grateful for the sun and then move on for your day. You have to like leave that on for a while in order for that upward spiral to go. So the longer we spend in our gratitude practice, the more impact it will have over time. And this is because our brain just takes a little bit of time to catch up, right? So if we're going to release serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, all those good neurotransmitters, we have to be in that for a while. So I would say like 2 to 5 minutes. I think the study said 5 minutes of letter writing. So about 5 minutes is really what we're looking for. And that's not that much time. Most of us have 5 minutes where we're doing something else that we could be practicing gratitude. So I'm not trying to add more to your day, but really put it into your day. So like if you're in the shower, or, you know, making your coffee, or like when you're eating, or, you know, something that you're doing that maybe you don't need to be fully present for, you can practice gratitude in that time, basically. So something I like to do, and it's buried in my stuff, but I have a little journal that is my agenda book for, I know I use a paper agenda book. but anyway, I have a paper agenda book, and I have like 3 different versions of these journals. So one is like an actual agenda book. One is like a workbook on something else. And then I have another workbook. So the agenda book, though, a couple times a week, I sit down and I really think about things that I'm grateful for. I'll write it down, or I'll circle it as a little reminder because I have a blank page on the side. And then I try to either think for a while about why I'm grateful, like out loud, not just like, oh, wow, that person's great, but actually articulate what's going on, what I like about them, what do they give to me? I know this sounds very transactional, but, you know, what about them makes me so happy for them, or enjoy being around them, or whatever, and then I really just kind of sit in that for a little bit. So basically, it's about timing. You can't just flip the switch on and then back off again. You know, you've got to really sit in it for about 5 minutes a day, which isn't that much time. It can seem like a long time when you start, but it goes by fast once you get used to it.
So you said the word, you use the word transactional, and, you know, I think that gratitude, one thing that I found really interesting is that it's not just something that stays with you, but when you practice it, it actually affects your surroundings and those who are around you. Talk to us a little bit about that and why it's a good idea to practice gratitude, you know, as I guess as a gift to not just yourself, but to the community around you, your family, and everybody who's surrounding you.
Yeah. So when you look up gratitude, there's like a couple of different definitions. So like the first one was like thankfulness. And then the next one was readiness to show appreciation, which I really loved that, that definition. I thought it was really like a good one. So of course we all kind of understand thankfulness, right? But then readiness to show appreciation is like the next level of gratitude, I feel like. So transactional. So obviously, you know, if you're like, oh, well, Chris complimented me, so now I have to compliment her, right? And we do have some of that societal standards where if somebody says something nice, you're supposed to say something back, right? And so I'm not discounting that. Don't get in trouble with people around you, you know, but it can't be like, Chris bought me a present, so now I give her a present, because that's not really what it's about. And it doesn't work that way. If you feel obligated to do something, you have to like truly want to give back. There's a very, very funny New Girl scene, which I love very much. And this was actually an argument that happened. So it was about gratitude. So it's one friend bought Nick, who's the grumpy guy character, a cookie. I was like, hey, man, I was thinking about you, so I got you a cookie. And so this is like an act of gratitude, right? Like, I was thinking about you, so here, have this cookie. And it was probably like a dollar or something. And then, you know, Nick just walked away with the cookie. And so I can't remember the guy's name. Winston was like, you never think about me, man. Like, this really hurts my feelings, right? So he was like feeling underappreciated, or like he wasn't getting acts of gratitude. So then Nick bought him a cookie and gave it to him. And Winston's like, that's not good enough. Like, you can't just reciprocate. You have to like really think about it and put thought into the act of gratitude. So it's very funny. And it ends up with Nick like babbling about, you give me cookie, I give you cookie, right? So it just made me think about it a little bit. The purpose of this tangent here is to really talk about that it can't be transactional. It can't be like, oh, well, you know, my friend said something nice, so now I say something nice. And you can if you feel it, but if you don't feel it, you can't force gratitude, basically. So if you have not practiced gratitude towards other people, you need to start with reflecting and probably writing letters that you're not going to send, basically, to really start getting into the mindset of gratitude and the readiness to show appreciation for others. Kindness is catching. It's very contagious. There's a lot of studies that show how quickly people get into the readiness to show appreciation mode, right? So a good example is where they do that, like if I buy somebody a coffee for the person behind me, right? So that just, it keeps going in a lot of cases. They'll have like chains. I think one of the longer ones was like 200 cars or something in a Starbucks, all paid for the person behind them, right? Isn't that incredible? And these kind of things, people love them. Like, it feels good. You're like, ooh, yay, humanity. We're not all bad, right? sometimes we need that reminder. If you're like me and you get into a news black hole and you're like reading stuff and you're like, oh my God, like everything's on fire. There's no hope. Like, you just have a brief moment where you're like, I shouldn't have looked at the news today. You can Google good news. And there are websites that are just good news, positive stories and stuff. And it's like a little palate cleanser, a reminder, basically, that it isn't all bad, to allow you to find the nuance in there, right? And really start thinking about, what is it about other people that I like? And not just they're nice, but what about them is nice? What makes them nice? Is it that they always laugh at my jokes? Is it that they check in on me every couple of days if I've been quiet? Do they send me funny cat pictures? You know, really kind of narrowing in on what specifically you are grateful for allows you to build that mindfulness practice and build into that readiness to show appreciation for others. And it's a good spot to be, I will say. Am I there all the time? No. Certainly not, but it's fun. And I really feel good about myself when I'm able to spread kindness out, yeah. right? Like, and it's dumb. It's just like, hello, right? I mean, that sounds silly, but even saying hello to random strangers can be an act of kindness or an act of gratitude because you're excited to be out in public and seeing other people. Hello, right? How are you? You know, these kind of little things can make a difference.
I love what you just said because you just gave us a very practical way of practicing gratitude and that maybe we didn't think about, you know, just like saying hello to somebody. What are some other ways in which we can, you know, practice gratitude on our day to day?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things, and I, if my friends are listening, this is coming for us again. We used to have a gratitude text chain. That there was a couple of us in this group message, and it wasn't every day, but because kindness or gratitude is catching, somebody would just be like, I'm really appreciative of the sunshine today. And then everybody would be like, oh, yeah. Okay. I'm grateful for it. Right. And we would just text back. So it was fun. So it wasn't every day, wasn't a lot of pressure. And it wasn't like if I didn't answer, you know, if everybody else said something, they were like, Julie, what are you grateful for? there wasn't this unnecessary pressure going on, but it was just a good kind of like, they call it kindness priming, where it was a good mindset kind of check-in. So gratitude checks with friends is a really good way to do it. And it doesn't need to be every day. And it won't work if it's every day, because then you're going to force it. And gratitude doesn't work when you're forcing it. So really about like, hey, I'd like to start a gratitude practice. Can you be my accountability buddy? Or can we have a separate chat for it or whatever? And then just quickly checking in on things you're grateful for. So you don't have to send them the detailed 5-minute list, but you know, do take some time to think about it and then check in with them. And don't force it, like I said. So don't be like, what are you grateful for? If they're not in the right space for it. There are some guided journal prompts, which can be useful. So if you're struggling with like, I don't know, I've never thought about what I'm grateful for. And now you're telling me it's not enough to be like, I like the sunshine. You know, what do you mean? It's got to be more in depth than that. So there are some really great accounts on Instagram. There's one, and a lot of them are doing it right now because it's November and that's Thanksgiving. So it's gratitude month, blah, 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 blah. So a lot of them have these prompts up where it's like one a day. And they're like, you know, today I'm grateful for my health, for instance. So then you would find something within your health that you're grateful for and talk about it for a little bit as a journal prompt. You could find stuff on the internet too, I'm sure, like gratitude prompts, just Google it and you'll find things. That's always really intriguing because it forces you to get out of the rut. So if you're like me, and you know, probably a lot of other people, you probably default to like, oh, I'm grateful for my friends, I'm grateful for my family, my animals, and the sunshine, right? And I'm not discounting that. That's all stuff we can and maybe should be grateful for. But
And food.
Yes, I am particularly grateful for cookies this morning. But yeah, we fall into like a rut and then we don't really like take the time to get into depth about why we care, what we appreciate, what we're grateful for. And it becomes superficial and then we're not actually practicing gratitude, right? So these prompts can really push us out of our comfort and get us moving. So there's been some that are like the outdoors. So yeah, I love the outdoors and I bet a lot of people love the outdoors, but what about the outdoors do you love, right? So thinking about maybe a place that you really enjoyed or you felt at peace, or an experience you had outside. Maybe you had like a really awesome pool party when you were a kid or something, you know, but thinking about this can allow you to really soak in the gratitude and think about it in a new way. Because when I ask people what they're grateful for, they invariably answer friends, families, pets, outside. Some jokesters might say food, some might say their health, their job. And these are all things we could or should be grateful for, but what about them? What about your friends? What do they give you? What about your family? What about your job, right?
So specificity seems to be a really important key element for gratitude. Now, Julie, you know, when you're thinking about gratitude and when you get that specific, you know, you said already, we there's a lot of shades of gray in everything that we do. So as you're trying to find, you know, what it is that you're grateful for, and you're trying to find the specifics, I think that you're going to find also things that are not so positive, right? So as you're going through that journey of being specific and figuring out why you're grateful about or thankful about something, when this other thoughts come in, you know, how do you stay in that mindset of gratitude? How do you deal with all of it, and how do you combine it to stay in that mindset of gratitude?
Yeah, that's a great question. I once was talking about gratitude with somebody, and they were like, I'm grateful for my boyfriend most days, which just cracked me up. And I've also heard people say, I'm grateful for my kids, but don't ask me about it right now, right? Because the reality is we're all human. We live in those shades of gray, right? So I'm certainly not perfect. You're not perfect. Our kids aren't perfect. Our partners aren't perfect. It's fine. It's okay to not be perfect, right? But how funny and how honest, which was great. So, you know, it's okay to recognize that people are shades of gray as well. And, you know, there are things about my partner that I am not so grateful for. And there are definitely some things that I am super grateful for, right? So just like I am not always going to be a perfect human being and always a radiant, you know, beacon of gratitude or whatever I'm supposed to be, the idea that we are 100% grateful for somebody all the time is silly. But think about your best friends, because you tend to forgive the faults in them pretty easily, right? And a lot of us might have a more negative or critical self-talk than we would to our best friends. So a really cutesy piece of advice if you're working on gratitude for the internal stuff, if we've gone past the external, we're working on internal, is really think about yourself the way you think about your best friend. Because, you know, most of us are going to be far more critical or harsh of ourselves than we would ever be out loud to friends or anything. So recognizing that, we can exist in those shades of gray and just be really kind. And, you know, let's say you're trying to practice gratitude and you are not having a good day with your kids or something, right? And you're not very grateful for them today, which is fine. You don't have to be grateful for something all the time. But you can say, you know, if the prompt was children or family or something, and you feel obligated to write about it for whatever reason, or if you need a reminder because you're not feeling very grateful for them, think about a time that you were grateful for them and what was going on at that time. So maybe they were super cute and they snuggled up to you to watch a movie. And you're like, oh my gosh, here's all of my love overflowing for this small human being, right? And this was such a good movie and we had a nice bonding moment today, right? They're coloring the walls, they're, you know, doing something that you're not feeling very grateful for. So you can flash back to a time that maybe you were experiencing that and just let the now go. And on the flip side, you can also really just lean into that nuanced stuff and go, you know, all right, so today I don't feel great about them, but what do I normally feel great about, you know, with whatever's going on?
I know we have a saying with my kids where I tell them, I don't like you very much right now, you know, they've learned to say that to me too. So it's, but, you know, we're allowing ourselves to have those moments where we recognize, okay, you're doing something that's really not sitting well with me, but I still love you, you know, at the end of the day. And, but it's just opening up that opportunity of honesty. You talked about, you know, your friends, your family, I mean, your partners, everybody, how does practicing gratitude help those relationships, you know, because it sounds like, you know, by being specific, accepting almost, you know, that there's both good and bad. I have to just say that this has to lead to better relationships.
Yeah. So that's one of the other things that we found is that long-term practice of gratitude it's contagious, right? So it will spread out to other people, the good kind of contagious, but it'll spread out to other people. And so think about it. If I'm approaching stuff with the coffee cup in my lap and this is my day, I'm carrying that rain cloud around and that affects other people as much as we want to pretend it doesn't. Versus if I'm running around with, you know, more of the gratitude priming or kindness priming where I'm ready to show appreciation, it feels good to be appreciated, right? So if I'm feeling very grateful and I let my partner know, like, you know, thank you so much for doing the dishes. That really took, you know, some weight off of me. And I really appreciate that you did that. Thank you. Right. So even just a small noticing can really, somebody's like, oh, all right, well, yeah. Right. And now maybe they'll do the dishes again. So that's great. Right. Win-win. I hate doing the dishes. This is my least favorite. I know you love doing it, but man, dishes are just the worst. So when you're primed, when you're ready to show appreciation, and of course people love being complimented and genuinely complimented, not like just flattering or whatever we're trying to do, but when people are genuinely complimented, it strengthens your bond between people. You feel more seen, you seem more validated, and it really just allows people to be reminded of the good things about themselves, or maybe see themselves in a new light. And then also they may be more willing to do the things you compliment them on or tell them you're grateful for, which again is a win-win in my books. Like, I will tell anybody that I am thankful for them doing my dishes. So if you need some gratitude in your life, you are welcome to come over and do my dishes, and I will definitely be grateful for you. So anyway, it strengthens things. I have this one wonderful friend who frequently she just practices gratitude. And it's so nice to talk to her, because she'll say something like, hi friend, grateful for you today. And that's it. That's all she's saying, right? And you're like, oh, well, all right. Well, that's a good way to start my day. And so then you're kind of just ready to start in an upward trend, like we were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah, and the impact that it has to hear a positive something about you, you know, it can carry you. It can really lift you up and just carry you for the day. We've talked about writing. We've talked about journaling as a way to practicing gratitude. Are there other ways? Are there other things that, you know, if somebody who maybe is new, who have not thought about gratitude as a practice, are there other things that they can start doing today in order to become more grateful?
Yeah, yeah. So journaling, you can write a letter and not send it, or send it to somebody. You can do that text accountability partner thing. Like I said, that's really fun. I like doing that a whole bunch. And it doesn't have to be frequent, and really it shouldn't be frequent. It shouldn't be like, oh, it's, you know, 10:45, time to send gratitude. Because then you start to resent it and it's not genuine. So you want it to be more spur of the moment. You could send a reminder in your phone maybe to stop and reflect. If you're somebody that's been caught up in a lot of the more negative feelings and you'd like to try to find some of that nuance in the day, you could set a reminder on your phone to stop and reflect. And if it's not time to stop and reflect, let it go. You don't need to. Okay. So again, recognizing that right now it's very hard for people to find gratitude. And that's okay. It really is. But if you're ready for it, you can then go ahead and try to schedule it in a little bit for yourself. Maybe it's like 3 times a week, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're gonna try to do some gratitude and work on it that way. Some other people have done visualization where they're going to, like, let's say if I was appreciative of Chris, which I am, I could sit there and think about what Chris looks like and like send positive thoughts that way, if that makes sense. So it's a little woo-woo for some people, but you can do some of the visualization pieces to allow that to happen. Maybe you want to draw or write or whatever. It's really just about the mindset. So however you're doing it, if you're just thinking about it, if you're sending magical feelings to people, if you're writing letters, if you're texting people, really, that's what we're looking for. And there are tons of resources online. Just Google like gratitude practice, gratitude journaling, whatever, and you will find prompts and stuff that work for you. Don't feel stuck on them too. If they have 30 prompts and you're like, I am not grateful for carrots or something, like something weird pops up, that's fine. You don't have to be grateful for carrots. Just move on, right? Nothing's going to be 100% perfect in many ways. I am going to be posting some prompts and examples next week on my Instagram. Pretty much throughout the week. And then we're doing an Instagram live, myself and Anita, my trainer with Inquiring Minds. We're going to be doing an Instagram live next Wednesday night. So if you want to come join, we're going to talk a little bit more about some gratitude and things too there. But anyway, you can just, there's so much out there that you can find something that'll work for you, because the reality is I hate journaling. I really do. I kind of push myself to do it sometimes because I know that I reap the benefits, but it's not my favorite activity and it feels like a chore in a lot of ways. So I set a limit. I'm going to do this journaling for 4 minutes. And then I put it on my phone and I watch the time go down as I'm doing the journaling, because I know that I need to push myself out of my comfort zone. And I used to love journaling. I don't know why I don't anymore, but I just don't like it. Maybe you want to just record voice messages for people. If you're uncomfortable with it, put a weird filter on yourself and make yourself goofy, but you can really start to kind of go out of the way and do that. One of my favorite filters is the one that makes your mouth way too big and your voice very squeaky. And so I've recorded some very nice messages with the weird squeaky voice filter and sent them to people before. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can get creative and practice gratitude. It's about finding what works best for you.
I love that you brought humor into that. Humor is something that I have been exploring quite a bit of recently, because there was something very impactful that I've heard, and I mentioned it on the show in a couple of different interviews many times, where somebody said, you know, when we are in different situations, and somebody, sometimes we want to cry and it's like, well, it's not appropriate to cry right now. Or sometimes there's something that makes us want to laugh out loud and it's like, well, it's not appropriate to laugh out loud right now. And so it was like, we are so used to suppressing our emotions and you know, unless it's in the right environment, unless it's in the right moment, then we're not really, as a society, we're not telling each other, we're not encouraging each other to show our emotions, but rather just keep them in. And I think gratitude, you know, based on what you just said and all the conversation that we just had, you know, you said to have that readiness to like to just express, you know, the and I guess embrace maybe what it is that you're seeing that's that you're liking, that's making you maybe happy. I mean, to just be ready to recognize all those little things. It sounds simple and it sounds like we should be there, but then we, here we are having a conversation about how to do it, right? Because we have all of these other messages that tell us, well, you're only supposed to laugh when everybody else is laughing or when there's like a common joke or something like that, right? Our emotions, you know, connected with gratitude and bringing that to us, to everybody else, Julie already told us, you know, it enhances your spirit and enhances the spirit of the person who receives that gratitude. It has all of these other benefits. It literally changes your brain. So as we're going into the season, right, of Thanksgiving, Christmas, where we have this idea of counting our blessings and being grateful, can you challenge us maybe, or can you help us so that we actually make this a little, take it a little bit deeper and make it more sustainable, something that we can carry with us, not just until December 25th, but, you know, through 2021 and beyond.
Yeah. And I want to be like real open. This is not for everybody. Right. So, you know, again, if this is not for you, you don't feel obligated to show gratitude. Maybe you're just not ready yet and that's fine. Or maybe you won't ever be, and that's also okay. So, you know, I am big on setting reminders because my brain just can't keep track of stuff. So either set reminders or make it part of your routine. So like when I make my coffee, I think about what I'm grateful for, or, you know, something that you can do that's sustainable so you can build it into your routine a little bit. And, you know, maybe one day you're like, I'm just going to stare at this coffee and be grateful for coffee. That's fine. You don't have to like get really into the deep feelings about things. If you're ready to dive in and do like 5 minutes of gratitude reflection, I encourage you to come up with like five things that about the thing you're thinking about that you're grateful for. So I know that was weird. So like coffee, I'm grateful that it's warm, that I get that minute or two to hold the cup, and it really grounds me because I'm thinking about my hands and I'm very present in my body. I like the way it tastes. I know it's not for everybody, but I like the way it tastes. You know, I like to share coffee with friends when I can. You know, it's a fun way. It's a good human connection thing. Pretty much almost everybody likes caffeine in some way, shape, or form. So that's a good way to start a conversation if you need to. So you're able to just kind of really pick apart what you like about it, if you want to get a little bit deeper. So if you're appreciative of a friend, think of five things about them that you really appreciate and get specific. So I love that they say good morning to me every morning. I love that they tell really funny jokes, or, you know, whatever, or I really like, if you're not ready for the love yet, right? So you're able to just get specific about what you're seeing that you really appreciate about them. Google stuff, because having that framework can be really useful. There's one that we used in the Sources of Strength program called GLAD, which I liked. So it is one thing you're grateful for, one thing you've learned recently, something you've achieved, and something that delights you. And so that's very cute. And it was really fun to see everybody else's stuff. So, you know, it can be nice to ask people, maybe put up a little Instagram box question box or something, or ask people to put in the comments what they're grateful for, because we know that gratitude and kindness is catching, it's contagious. And I think a lot of us need good reminders right now so that we don't get stuck in that 100% negativity or even 90% or whatever, that we can really be allowed to experience the nuances, the shades of gray, the good things, because it's not all 100%. Bad. So we can work to build in some more light to our days.
I love that you just gave us that opportunity to all be participants, active participants, and invite others, you know, through something as simple as putting a post up that says, what are you grateful for today? And maybe you put on there, you know, but describe three things why you're grateful about that one thing that you're mentioning, right? And maybe you're already trying to bring that idea of a specificity and you know, just a deeper gratitude than just saying, I'm grateful for the sun, right? but, you know, like Julie just said, if that's where you are, that's great. You know, you got to start somewhere if this is something that you want to pursue. I think you will be surprised, pleasantly surprised with all the benefits that you get if you do decide that this is something that you want to try. Where can people connect with you? Where can they find more information if there's, you know, if they have more questions and they want to just explore this idea of gratitude a little more with you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm at Inquiring Minds LLC with underscores in between the words on Instagram. I do have a Facebook. I don't use it very often, to be honest. Instagram is just a little bit more fun for me. I post lots of stories every day, so you're welcome to join in. I think if you catch this, if you're catching it live or early on Thursday, the 19th, whatever day it is, I don't know. I'm grateful for my planner that tells me what day it is. So anyway, I have a gratitude thing up right now that you can come join in, and I'll have a few more throughout the next week or so. And like I said, there's a lot of ways we'll be posting a lot in the next week or so about gratitude to get you to maybe think a little bit. You don't have to do everything. And, you know, we listed a lot of opportunities. You don't have to do all of them. You don't. I don't do all of them.
Absolutely. And if you come to Julie's page on Instagram, you'll see her dancing. She's doing all of these great videos. And yeah, I've been really enjoying them. I've been really, really enjoying them. So I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that, you know, as I'm scrolling down, then I see you dancing, and it just brings me into a good mood, and it's like makes me want to dance with you. So I think, you know, you usually we close whenever we are with Julie with a self-care send-off. I still have a hard time putting them words together. And I don't know, do we want to do that today, or do we want to just close it with what are we grateful for, and actually, you know, bring that practice of gratefulness with the five things, you know, with the five specific qualities that we're grateful for, the one thing that we mentioned. I'm gonna let you decide how we finish the show today.
All right, so it's going to be both, plot twist. So I challenge you to practice gratitude. So let's share our gratitude things here. So I'm going to pick the sun because I feel like we've been ragging on it. So I want to get specific about why I like the sun here. All right. So I really appreciate days that it's sunny, even if it's super cold and windy. And this is a Scottish family ism, but it's there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes. And so I want to pick on you because that was kind of the reality is, you know, you can dress for the weather and still appreciate it. So if you look outside and it's sunny and it feels like a lie, put on your raincoat, you know, put on the warm layers that you can go out. So I really appreciate when I go out, the sun just brings clarity, I feel like. Helps ground me to the day so that I feel small and a big presence. I know that sounds strange, but I really appreciate, like, when I'm all caught up in my head, I can go stand outside and be like, look at that burning thing that is way too large to even comprehend. Like, right. I like feeling the warmth on my skin. I like the activities that it normally allows us to do outside. And normally I feel pretty motivated, even if it's super cold and windy, to get the dogs out and move my body outside. So I appreciate the sun and I'm grateful for it, but specifically.
So, you know, one thing that I was working yesterday until really late, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've been Zooming all day, you know, clicking from one Zoom meeting to another Zoom meeting to another Zoom. But I am very grateful for Zoom. I am super grateful for Zoom because it connects me to my friends and my family in Ecuador. It allows me to have these conversations, you know, for work. It allows me to have a job. It allows me to, it's become a vehicle. Yes, I was frustrated with it when I have one after the other, like yesterday, right? And I was until really late working. But if it wasn't for Zoom, then we would not be having this conversation right now. We would not be carrying this message to others, bringing up these opportunities for conversation. I mean, I am very, very grateful for Zoom. I'm also grateful of how easy it is. And then one thing that it's added right now, if you have done the upgrade to it, I love that they're bringing humor into it. Now you can have all sorts of filters right here on Zoom. So if you haven't done the upgrade, I encourage you to do it because that created a great opportunity for, we had a meeting yesterday with everybody in our office, and I haven't done the upgrade. So I was kind of like just sitting there twiddling my fingers, looking at everybody. But everybody had all of the filters and everybody were hats and glasses and one eyes and just a lot of fun. So it's even allowing you to have a lot of fun right now. So I am grateful for Zoom. I was really frustrated with it yesterday, but it made me appreciate like the fact that, okay, if it wasn't for it, I would not be working. You know, I would not have this opportunity to continue to work at home through this pandemic. So yes, you have stressful days with it, but gotta love the technology that comes with it. So
yeah. Nuance. Absolutely. It's gray. You cannot like it sometimes. Don't be grateful for it.
Absolutely. Anything else you would like to say, Julie, before we wrap our conversation up today?
I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that Thanksgiving is next week. Many of us celebrate this in some way, shape, or form, typically with food, let's be honest. I implore you to please be safe, please follow guidelines. I know it really sucks to not see family and to do our normal plans, but there are ways that you can still connect with Zoom or something and help keep everybody safe. I know it's hard. There are some tips on boundaries and things online if you need help communicating them to family members, etc. I'm planning on making a pie with my grandma over Google Duo or Google Meet, whichever one they decide on doing. So, you know, was I normally supposed to be there eating with them? Yeah, 100%. But I can't this year, and that's okay, because we're still going to connect and we're still going to do things, and you can make new traditions and still find things to be grateful for, even if the whole day or the weekend or whatever feels like it just got taken away from you. And it did. I'm not dismissing that. But you cannot just get lost in the negative. Find the shades of gray.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, the opportunities to maybe elevate others. We just talked about writing letters that elevate others. Maybe use that opportunity. Maybe use this, you know, the fact that we can't be together as an opportunity. If somebody has a business, if somebody bakes the best pies, just maybe write a little post about that person. If that's something that you're comfortable with and you feel that other person is going to be comfortable with as well, obviously. Maybe try to shift the lens in which you're looking at it a little bit. Keep yourself safe, family safe, and still find ways to enjoy the holidays. I think that's a great way to end our show today. Thanks everybody for listening, for watching. Please share this with everybody that you know. It might benefit them. They might need to hear this message right now. Leave us a comment, a like. If you have suggestions of conversations, something that you really want me to and Julie to talk about, please send us a message right here on the page at Dragon Digital Radio, my page, Chris Oviedo, moviedo@howardcc.edu is my email on the comments. I mean, really. Anyway, we're not hiding. You can definitely get in touch with us through Julie's social media pages, as well as she's, you know, giving them Instagram, Facebook, and we'll be happy. We'll be happy to try to cover it. If I feel that there's somebody else that's better to have the conversation with Julie, believe me, it's all about bringing you the content that you need, and we'll make it happen. So Julie, again, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you for being available and for just being so honest and open and vulnerable here with me as we abord these themes that I think are important for everybody to just listen in on or interact with. So thank you, everybody. Have a good one. connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.